From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Happy Veterans Day to those of you who have or are serving in the armed forces. And a special tribute to you in a moment with Danyon Brinkley. Later tonight, Armageddon in China. And by the way, happy birthday to Coast listener Stephen Schultz. Avid listener, Stephen, thank you so much. Here's what's happening. Brr, how cold is it? Well, out here in St. Louis, it is 2 degrees with the wind chill. That's it. An Arctic invasion is underway. Tens of millions are in its path. A quick-moving storm system creating icy conditions that caused the plane to slide off the runway at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. It's now pushing east, bringing snow, freezing rain, gusty winds to the eastern two-thirds of the country, even as a surging cold front brings record-breaking temperatures. Winter may be here a little too early. Well, it all comes down to this. House Democrats charging ahead with their impeachment investigation. They will hit a critical juncture this week, throwing the process into the public spotlight as they fight to convince voters of a verdict they themselves have all but ratified, that President Donald Trump, they say, abused the office and should be sent packing. The shift is a pivotal development in the 7-week-old investigation, one bearing enormous stakes for a Congress and country bitterly divided along partisan lines, while ensuring even more than before that the 2020 elections will be a referendum on the man in the Oval Office. Here's Howard Bloom, author of The Global Brain, for his perspective on the latest. Howard, what do you think?
Well, this week the impeachment inquiry, as you said, is going to go public, and three witnesses are going to go before the TV cameras. There are going to be a handful of big questions. First, was the president's conversation with Ukrainian President Zelensky perfect, or was it gangland-style extortion? Was President Trump's request for two investigations from Zelensky in the interests of us, the United States of America, or was it in the personal interest of President Donald Trump? Specifically, was an investigation of the Bidens of value to Donald Trump's 2020 political campaign? If it was, then Donald Trump was breaking the law against soliciting anything of value for a political campaign from a foreign entity. Now, look, in my opinion, Joe Biden's decision to let his son have two foreign entanglements, one in the Ukraine and one in China, was a big mistake.
Yes.
But Donald Trump's kids have 15 times more foreign entanglements. They have entanglements in 30 countries, entanglements of that don't really belong to Trump's kids. They belong to President Donald Trump. Now, remember, Founding Father George Washington said that foreign influence of any kind is one of the most baneful foes of Republican government. Founding Father James Madison was concerned that a president might betray his trust to a foreign power, and the Constitution says no person holding any office of profit or trust can take any present of any kind from a foreign state. If the Biden investigation can help Trump win the election of 2020, then the president has committed an impeachable crime. But there's something even worse. There's Trump's other request, the request that the Ukrainians investigate an alleged plot between Hillary Clinton and the Ukrainians to sabotage Trump in 2016. Who would that investigation benefit? All of America or Donald Trump? Now, listen carefully. All 17 American intelligence agencies have tracked the cyber attacks on our election back to their source and are convinced that the interference was not from the Ukraine. It was from Russia. So who will benefit if President Trump manages to blame the cyber war against our 2016 elections on the Ukrainians? Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump will get Russia off the hook. That's exactly what James Madison called foreign influence.
Howard, always enjoy your perspectives. Thank you so much. Former President Jimmy Carter has been admitted tonight to the Emory University Hospital in Atlanta ahead of a procedure to relieve pressure on his brain. The pressure was caused by bleeding from his recent falls. He is 95 years old. Most of the biggest names in big technology are racing to create smart glasses that we wear everywhere, and that may replace our phones one day. Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Snap, Facebook, Apple, Magic Leap, and others are all working on some form of smart glasses, and you'll be able to talk with them on, too. People will never be able to see each other again. Smile and the whole world smiles with you is the old saying. A new Ohio State University study has determined that out of the thousands of possibilities, there are but 35 universally accepted facial expressions. Yet perhaps most remarkable is that roughly half of these, 17 to be exact, are expressions of happiness. Unless we are actors, most of us are probably unaware of the fact that our faces can be reconfigured to express emotions, whether voluntarily or individually. It turns out, however, that humans are meant to smile much more often than they grimace, scowl, frown, or wince. How about that? Exorcisms on the rise, as a matter of fact, and frequently summoned for decades, Catholic exorcists say they are now being beckoned across Minnesota and the rest of the United States as pleas from the faithful to cast out the devils are on the rise. What else is going on? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Hey, Stephen, what do you got?
Oh, George, so many wonderful things. And, you know, today's Mercury transit that we were talking about last week was really amazing. Beautiful skies here from Arizona, and I hope many of the listeners got to at least to see it on the Internet. If you missed it, the next one, George, is May the 7th of 2049, a long way in the future. And you know, folks, and George, if indeed Elon Musk is right, and we do get to colonize the planet Mars in, say, the next 20 or 30 or 40 years, here's an event, George, that's really most amazing. On November the 10th of 2084, not only will we get to see an amazing transit, but this time it will be from the surface of Mars. You would actually see the Earth and the Moon transit the Sun, something totally incredible on that little black speck. By then, maybe over 8 billion humans inhabiting the Earth. But we begin, of course, with space. George, SpaceX launched another of the 60 Starlink satellites into orbit aboard a Falcon 9 rocket, creating the way for a global Internet system. This would be the fourth time that this individual Falcon 9 booster launched to space and then soft landed on the recovery ship, appropriately named, of course, I Still Love You. And new satellites, of course, these will hover some 217 miles above the Earth. And George, the other interesting thing with SpaceX is the power of the amazing Falcon Heavy rocket, launched successfully three times. Many people are curious when the next great launch will be. SpaceX says sometime in Q3 of the year 2020. And it's interesting, each of those launches cost approximately, not exactly, about $160 million per launch. And what SpaceX is trying to do, and doing it very successfully, George, is trying to lower the per pound to launch amount. They want to get it down to $500 per pound to launch into space, and that is a noble cause. We wrap it up, George, always with a live sky tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, George, the most amazing full beaver moon sailing across our skies, most amazing full at exactly 8:34 Eastern Standard Time this early Tuesday morning, followed by another great full moon, the full cold moon or long night moon of December the 12th. We'll be talking about that. And, you know, next week we find out that as we move into the early part of next Monday and the early part before our next update, the Leonid meteor shower will be seen look high into the eastern sky from 2 a.m. till sunrise. The Leonids this year, unfortunately, will be kind of mired by a little bit of heavy moonlight, but still seeing some. The planets Venus, Jupiter, and Saturn, George, are still visible, easy to the eye, Venus getting brighter in the south-southwest. Dr. Sky reminds you always, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. Email me, appreciate that greatly, at drskyshow@gmail.com. And check out our two favorite sites, theskylive.com, and you can get lost for hours, we always do, at wikisky.org. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Dr. Sky. Also, always appreciated. Well, on this Veterans Day, it's been 75 years since the USS Grayback submarine went missing with 80 sailors aboard. Now an organization that searches for sunken World War II submarines has solved the mystery of where it went down. The undersea explorer Tim Taylor and his team at the Lost 52 Project announced that they had located the long-lost submarine on June 5th, about 1,427 feet underwater off of Okinawa in Japan. In a moment, Daniel Brinkley joins us as we begin again our tribute to veterans on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Happy Veterans Day to those of you who have served in our armed forces, those of you who are serving as well. As John F. Kennedy once said, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. Thank you for bravely doing what you've called on to do so we can safely do what we're free to do. It's an amazing quote. As we traditionally do on Veterans Day here, we play a little bit of the songs of our military. Daniel Brinkley standing by in a moment. Here's thanks to the Army. There you go, Army. My dad served in the Army. That was for you too, Dad. Now, the Navy. And Semper Fi, Marines. of course, who watches our skies? The Air Force. And, of course, we can't forget the Coast Guard. And, of course, before we take our break, let's bring in our special Veterans Day guest, heads up the Twilight Brigade, a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, a New York Times best-selling author and entrepreneur, zapped by lightning several times and is back to talk about it, Danion Brinkley. Danion, those songs send chills up my spine every time I hear them.
It does the same thing to me, George. You know, and you listen to the band, how great the band is coordinating that music. And I think that's part of what makes America as great as it is and makes veterans as powerful a force that could ever be reckoned with in this healthcare climate that we exist in.
Absolutely. And we're going to come back with you and talk with you about several things that you're doing and that we can do as a nation for our veterans right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls next hour with Danion Brinkley as we traditionally talk about Veterans Day later on in the program, Armageddon, so get ready for that as well. Well, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. I hope you enjoyed that little musical tribute to our veterans, past and present. And Daniel Brinkley back with us again, a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah! Is a New York Times best-selling author, Saved by the Light, one of his books. He's an entrepreneur as well. Heads up the Twilight Brigade. He's been a hospice volunteer since the 1980s. For more than three decades, he has become the leading expert on veterans' end-of-life. He has more than 25 years walked the halls of Congress and has been active in educating policymakers for increased research and access to therapies for veterans as well. Danyon, I want to thank you for what you do for the vets, my friend.
But you know, George, it's just like any other veteran. You know, this is what we all collectively try to do. And when you take a good look at what's happening in the world, you realize, George, that we have been doing this annual presentation for 22 years, the status of the VA and what we look at, because I've been in the VA for 35 years as a hospice volunteer. So I see what works and what doesn't work. And when we get a chance to do this annually, I'm really, really proud about it because I pay a lot of attention. And today I called 11 different people in various rank and file in VAs across America, so that I make sure my information is right and the details to help people answer their questions and how to outsmart the system. Where the VA is today, no matter what anybody thinks, the veteran is now in the most powerful position that they can be in based on what I call the battle or the war that's going on within the VA. And when you start to look at this battle, it's the old entrenched system that cannot sustain the pill-pushing nature of how medicine is, the non-spiritual aspect of medicine, as opposed to either you're living in a dead universe, which is medicine and allopathically based, or you live in a living universe, which is holistic and diet and exercise and all of those. Well, where the Mission Act comes into play, equal to where the old guard is trying to hold on to the old system instead of innovating, and the Mission Act is in place, there is a battle going on. And where the crisis comes, George, is this. If the Mission Act, as it's impacted and put into place, does not pay attention to the core nature that it is veterans that they're serving, and that a veteran VA has a nature that it's about veterans and those who have served, and if you move into the new program that's been enacted, then what happens is they just move a veteran into the normal healthcare system. When you and I were in the services, you could not talk about Medicare equal to veterans benefits. And if you had Medicare, you couldn't get VA benefits. If you had VA benefits, you couldn't get Medicare. Now the government is pushing everybody getting Medicaid, everybody. And if you look at the Mission Act, knowing that since you could not get a veteran an appointment within 30 days, then they created and structured the Mission Act, which means that you could go outside. You could go to a normal provider. But what happens is there is no way to measure whether they get more or faster service because the government is not measuring in that. And this is where the crisis comes, George.
Daniel, why don't they just merely do away with the VA and let the veterans go to hospitals and, you know, we pick up the bill?
Well, that's exactly what the Mission Act is doing. But there is a place about that it is the VA which could be innovated to be even better because it is designed to protect and support veterans. And that's where the argument is, George. Look at what can happen. You can cut cost and you can be effective. And where the Mission Act is, it is really good. But you strip away the value of the service and you put a veteran into a normal system of health care, which I can't say is as great as it is. It's all medicine and pill-pushing nature as opposed to looking at how to create and protect the whole person. Look at what a veteran is. And I believe in this election cycle, the veteran is the most powerful force in innovation in healthcare. And the VA is doing things that is magnificent, George, but they're also losing sight. We have to pay attention. If you cannot get to see a veteran, If a veteran cannot get to see a primary provider in the VA, then the Mission Act lets them go outside. Well, I believe that what exactly is happening is what you just said. This is a structured way to eliminate the VA so that everybody becomes a Medicare recipient and you create single paying.
Wouldn't you say the medical treatment in a normal hospital as opposed to VA hospital would be better care?
Depends on the situation. Depends on if it's a veteran injury that came in service in combat. I see magnificent VA quality of care.
You do.
See
unbelievable. Okay.
But I see failures. And the failures, George, lie in the fact that it's an entrenched bureaucracy. Everybody knows what goes wrong with everything is once it becomes a bureaucracy and trying to hold on to a system that's not working. Well, the Mission Act has the ability to force these corrections, And I think that Robert, our Secretary Wilkie, is doing a terrific job. I look at what they're putting into play, and it's remarkable. What we have to do as veterans, get veteran conscious, get us paying attention to the force that we have in this election cycle. We are the most powerful force. Whether people realize it or not, what's going to happen in healthcare is the VA is the forerunner. They're going to take the VA and create a care service that eliminates the VA because they are now electronically connecting the DOD medical information with the VA medical information, so it becomes seamless. Right there is the chance they'll either take it into a normal healthcare system, mm-hmm. or they will improve the VA. And that's what's so important about what's happening today. It's important that we as veterans stop and look at, would you look at suicide, which is the biggest issue.
It's increasing, isn't it?
That's the key. Everything is failing. Okay? Who's going to do something about that? If you push a veteran into the mainstream, into normal health care, he can go to a hospital. They don't know anything about veterans. He's just another patient that in order to get paid on a single-payer system, he's got $35. He gets paid $35 for seeing this patient. He doesn't care whether it's a veteran or not. It's just another patient.
Right.
Where in the VA, it is a veteran, and it's a veteran's issue.
And I would guess the regular hospitals might not even know what PTSD is all about.
Wouldn't care. Look at all the staff workers in a hospital. They're burnt out, George. They're burnt out. When you look at psychologists and you look at social workers, they're burnt out. And I live in end-of-life care. You know, I die about every 10 or 15 years. I find some way to kill myself.
Come back, though. You're like a rubber ball.
But, you know, when you know what I know, George, and you've been through those experiences like this last one, and you go through them, you have a really good understanding about what matters, you know. And I look at this based on 25 years ago, I wrote a book called Saved by the Light, which is now still in the top best-selling books on Amazon.
Sure is.
But there were the boxes of knowledge. And when the boxes of knowledge came into play into my life, when I got to the Crystal City, had the Panoramic Life Review, and I met these 13 beings, and I watch this information. Everybody who's ever read the books know that. Well, as I watch these boxes of knowledge come true from 1975, then there is no way I'm going to move away from what I believe is my core mission. And the battle for the souls of humankind in America would be fought in healthcare. And as I watch that come into play, as each of these things come true, then I'm not going to move from my spiritual consciousness, and I'm going to stay focused on what I believe is my core mission. So here's where I think our greatest issue is. If you are a veteran and you go to war to defend this country, you increase your chances of killing yourself roughly 3-4% in life. At that point, at looking at that, knowing that 21 veterans are killing themselves every day, up from 20, and another 325 active duty are killing themselves. If you add that up, 7,665 people who serve this country are killing themselves every year. And that's 44.5 per 100,000, up from 33.6% per 100,000 in the civilian population. The entire United States should stop. They should stop.
Yep.
And demand answers and innovative programs to answer that. The outside system will not achieve that goal, George. The internal system of forcing the VA to meet these standards, no matter what it takes, and the innovative change has to be the driving force that every veteran takes to them from now to 2020. And I believe that this opportunity has never come in the 22 years we've been doing this, and in the 35 years I've been in the VA, I have never seen this opportunity.
Something's happening in New York with the New York Police Department, Daniel. They're committing suicides at record numbers, too. There's something that has to be done with our responders, our military.
First responders, too.
Yeah, something's happening. Look, we've got military bases all around the country. We've been in
154.
We're still in Afghanistan. We're still in Iraq. We're still in Syria. What the heck is going on?
Well, here's what I think about the Syrian issue, George. You know, I look at the boxes of knowledge and Saved by the Light. Okay, so in Syria, it has to do when I said that Jerusalem would become an important issue and it would be as though that Jordan was disappearing. Well, when Jerusalem became the capital, when President Trump did what he did at the capital, and making Jerusalem the capital and moving it from Tel Aviv, our embassy.
Or the embassy.
And the fact that Netanyahu said he was going to, if he got appointed, he was going to seize the land that was supposed to be returned to Jordan. He was going to seize it. Well, those two things have come to pass equal to what I saw in the boxes of knowledge and the vision in the first near-death experience. So what that means, it means that we have come to the point of in our spiritual and emotional selves to identify what is really occurring in who we are, as opposed to who we think we are as spiritual beings, as opposed to human beings. So the VA and healthcare is the trigger mechanism to implement control, like this person that's coming on after me. It's not China, it's American healthcare that's the issue. It's American healthcare and how we receive our healthcare and how we take care of ourselves is gonna become the driving issue quietly without us paying attention to it. All that other stuff, George, is just noise. So when you look at where Syria is and we're staying there, even though the president promised he was going to take us out of these nations, and everybody knows that the Turks are going to attack the Kurds. They've been doing that for 1,500 years, and no one's going to stop them from doing that. When they gave the Golan Heights to Israel, which was a part of what's called the Syrian lineage, and then you look at the Israeli lineage trying to remold all of the Middle East. And if Trump can pull out of there, knowing that we producing our own oil and we don't need outside oil, then we are not entangled in that decision-making process and all the pressure that they're putting on Iran. But here's what I think is going to happen. I think that there's going to be a way equal to what the president did with Kim Jong-un. He's going to bring these people to the table. He's going to bring them to the table because the world is recognizing what is happening between the Palestinians and the Israelis, especially in Gaza. Okay? So
it's got to be fixed.
Say that again?
It's got to be fixed.
We have to be proactive, okay? Because one of the things in the boxes of knowledge was that a Vatican-like presence would occur. So I always study to see what the Vatican is doing and if there is either a monastery or something left over. And so right now, you look at the relationship with the Vatican, you look at the relationship with Israel, which there's not diplomatic relationships. You know, if the Pope wants to come to Israel, he has to come under his passport. He can't come as the Pope. And they're trying to negotiate those settlements right there. And now the Pope has met with the Wahhabis and the Sunnis and the Shiites and the Russian Orthodox and the Jewish rabbis to create a concentrated force of a one world type religious structure using Jerusalem as the base for this. Now think about that. This is really happening today in our lives. This is occurring, and yet no one looks at it. I look at some of the biblical prophecy. Not all of that matches with the stuff that I see, but a lot of it does match, and here we are at that point. So where Syria and where we are within this next year, we're going to see a radical shift and change. Turkey and NATO, the Kurds, what is the incurrence with Israelis dealing with the Iranians and with Hezbollah? All of this is going to come to a complete awareness, and the president sees the handwriting on the wall. If you look at the, in 1997, a paper was put out called The New American Century, and it described all the countries that they were going to take down as the American dominance of the Middle East and oil would come into play. Of the seven ones, Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, the only one that's still standing is
Iran. That's it. And that was always the target, wasn't it?
Always. Because why? They have their oil is Texas sweet. It's light crude. It's not like PMX like in Mexico. It's not mud. It's not like...
You don't have to refine it as much.
You're 180 degrees and it's kerosene. Take it out of the ground, you heat it to 180 degrees and it's kerosene. And all of a sudden it becomes a fuel. So when you look at that much oil reserves and you look at it just like Iraq, the only place that Syria really has any oil is in the Golan Heights. And the only way Israel has access to water is the Shuman farms. So without the Golan Heights, Israel has no water.
Daniel,
they don't have access to oil.
Barring a third world war, do you see the draft being implemented again?
Well, I would hope that it was. I mean, I think that we would be in less wars if people had to put their children at stake. And like the Israelis, everybody should go through 6 months. Everybody should go through basic training, George. Okay, and I don't see a world war.
Really? That's dramatic.
Well, I don't see a world war. Why? Where does America, the 223 rounds that we use in our combat weapons, where are those bullets made?
That's a good question.
China.
Yep, exactly. Daniel, stay with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, talk more. I want to ask you about the opioid situation with our military. And, of course, we'll take phone calls. This is our Veterans Day tribute. Daniel Brinkley with us. His website's Daniel.com and the TwilightBrigade.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com.